Well, welcome everyone to the Region 6 Planning and Policy Council meeting. My name is Kirby Fye. I'm with the department. I'm listed as Amy Holland, but this is Kirby Fye. Just a few things to go over before we get started. This meeting is being recorded per Governor Lee's Executive Order 78. So please make sure your computer or your phone is muted if you're not speaking, just to prevent any feedback from coming through. And the recording will be available on the department website within the next day or two. Also, when speaking, please just state your name. It's helpful when capturing the minutes as well. So, Richard, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through all the participants, and I'll start with the individuals who have joined via computer because I could see their names, and then call-in users, and then I'll hand it over to you.
Okay, great.
This is Kirby Fye with the department. Avis Easley is on the call, also with the department. Dana Cobb, Jason Postlethwaite. Did I pronounce that right? Jason Postlethwaite. Okay. Jerry Moore, Kim Parker, Lori Hendon, Lori Rash, Marcus Jones, Richard Barber. And I have one call-in user. Can you state your name?
Yes, this is Heather Vestal with TMHCA.
Hi, Heather. Welcome. All right, Richard.
Okay, Kirby, thank you. And thank you for setting up the WebEx meeting for us today. Looks like we're going to have a slim crew. Let's just start with first off, I want to thank everybody. You know, unusual times, people working from home, people on the road, and I know everybody's sick of this. I know we are here. We had another staff member test positive, or her son did this week. So, you know, we've got one of our admissions coordinators out, and it's been a chore to do our work. And I appreciate everybody taking the time and blocking off the time to come on this call, and let's do the business that the state asked us to do for this Region 6. So thank you for taking time today to do that. Since Kirby has pretty much gone over who's on the call, I guess we can get away from introductions. I think everybody pretty much knows everybody, but just welcome. I sent out the January meeting minutes. I hope you've had an opportunity to review them. And if you haven't reviewed them, the chair would entertain a motion at this time that those minutes be accepted.
Dana Cobb, so moved.
We have a motion, and now for a second. Anybody?
Two more seconds.
Thank you, Jerry. We have a motion to accept the January meeting minutes in a second. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of accepting the January minutes, let it be known by saying aye or raising your hand.
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? Okay, the minutes are passed. Thank you. Kirby, you're on the agenda next for the department report. Now, I didn't put your name on there because I didn't know if you'd be back. I didn't know exactly who to put on there, but welcome back and congratulations.
Well, thank you. Yesterday was my first day back. 6 weeks went by really quickly. okay, let me pull up this report, and I'll send this to you so you can copy and paste it in the minutes as well.
Bless you.
All right. The first item we have on the update is the February report for the three-year plan. Year two, fiscal year 21, has been completed, and it was shared with regional council leadership. If you're interested in viewing this document, please contact your regional council chair or vice chair to get a copy of this. The 2021 needs assessments are due to me by close of business April 15th. There is a link on the department website. If you go to tn.gov/behavioral health, there is a link to access fast facts, dashboards, and behavioral health indicators for data for your identified needs. Richard, I know I received two of your needs that you're going to discuss today, I believe.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I think everybody's aware. What's up?
Yeah, Megan and Jerry will be talking about the mental health needs a little later.
Okay, great. Also, the department would like to encourage the Planning and Policy Regional Councils to identify matters affecting individuals with mental illness, substance use issues, and or co-occurring disorders that may require legislative attention action in the 2022 legislative session. Regional councils may use the 2021 needs assessments to help generate ideas or support for legislative proposals. I believe Ava sent out an email to you all earlier, or I believe it might have been last week, for the forms for the legislative proposal process and questions in order to begin the process. These are due to me by close of business on May 17th. So if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. This is not required. You're just all encouraged to participate if you would like to. The department will receive an additional $15 million from SAMHSA through the Community Mental Health Services Block Grant and $30 million for the Substance Abuse Prevention and Treatment Block Grant to assist in the response to the COVID-19 pandemic. States may use this supplemental COVID-19 relief funding to respond to needs and gaps due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. The department will receive an additional $687,000 to set aside 5% of the mental health block grant allocation to support evidence-based crisis systems. The 5% set aside will be used for evidence-based crisis care programs, addressing the needs of individuals with serious mental illness and children with serious mental and emotional disturbances. Funds may be used to address some or all of a set of core crisis care elements, including centrally deployed 24/7 mobile crisis units, short-term residential crisis stabilization beds, evidence-based protocols for delivering services to individuals with suicide risk, and regional or statewide crisis call centers coordinating in real time. Lastly, the System of Care Across Tennessee Network Community Engagement Program will partner with local community teams in the region to work toward community buy-in, cross-agency collaboration, family and youth involvement, and coordinated services and supports for children and youth with social, emotional, and behavioral concerns and their families. Community engagement specialists will work to embed System of Care values and principles in all settings by providing education, training, and technical assistance about topics surrounding children's mental health and whole family health. A community engagement specialist will partner with local communities to identify areas of services and supports that could be more family friendly and easy to access. Deadline to apply is April 26, 2021. I have a link included in this update where you can access the department funding opportunity and this announcement of funding as well for further details. And that is what I have.
All right. Thank you, Kirby. I don't guess we have any idea how this additional money coming in is going to be allocated. That's coming in from the CARES Act and response to COVID.
I don't have any information on that. I don't know if Davis, if you have any further information on that.
Yes. Hi, Richard. Hi, everybody. How's everybody
hey,
doing? Hi. So this is the way it's working. Number one, were you speaking of the COVID-19 supplemental funding, Richard?
Yes.
In the 15
yes.
million? 15 million? Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So we have submitted a proposal, mental health service, about how we're proposing to use that money. Right now, I can't speak to that because it has not been approved yet.
Okay.
But what I can tell you is that supplemental funding, it can go for several things like additional positions, peer support, crisis services as far as increasing the crisis services line for the telephone calls. there's a number of things that is in those guidelines that mental health services has to speak to, and that regarding the proposal. I can tell you this, once the proposal has been approved, and as we were speaking, I was getting an email from my SAMHSA project officer saying that there's a slight delay in approval because it has to go through another level. Once that is said and done and I get that approval and I can notify mental health services, I think at that point, what they will be doing is letting providers know in a sense of how they're going to be rolling out their money, probably in an announcement of funding. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead, Richard. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's helpful. It looks like it's not going to be real restrictive, that it
yes,
will be able
correct.
To go across a lot of different services. So that's great.
Yes, yes. We have two pots is in the update that Kirby gave. There's two pots of money, that one with the COVID relief and then the other one with the $687,000 for the crisis services, 5% set aside for the mental health block grant. Obviously, that's going to go strictly for crisis services. We also submitted a proposal to as for that as well. We have not got the word back from SAMHSA if that has been approved. Once that is approved, further information will be available to share with our councils about it.
Okay, Ms. Thank you. Thanks for updating that.
You're welcome.
Okay, we'll move on now to the needs assessment. And as Kirby and Avis have mentioned, it's due on the 15th. I think we pretty much got it wrapped up. I want to thank Megan and Jerry for working hard on the mental health aspect of it. We took some information and did the substance abuse part over here. So, Megan, I'll turn it over to you or Jerry, whoever wants to take the lead on that. Talk about the two mental health needs that we will be submitting to the state, please. Uh-oh, you're on mute, hon.
That's like the theme of the last year. I need, like, everyone needs matching t-shirts. So I sent just the email now so you guys can have a copy in front of you of the two pediatric needs. The adult committee hasn't been meeting as frequently to identify a strong adult need, so we were told to go ahead with our two pediatric needs. So I'll start with the one that talks about the need for a pediatric peer recovery network. So we certify peer recovery specialists for adults. We don't do that for pediatrics. There really isn't a pediatric peer support network. So when we were talking about that, we really talked about how Healthy Transitions is also a very beautiful program that could team very nicely with having a standardized state peer support. So it's specifically, you know, this need specifically talks about both a need to permanently fund Healthy Transitions and lower the age of the program to start age 12, which is where we start to see a spike in mental health, but also to identify ways to do some peer support training, specifically so we could have maybe young adults in their mid to late 20s, serve in a mentor capacity within the framework of a Healthy Transitions program. And so right now there's not anything like it in the three-year plan, and that we would be asking for permanent funding for Healthy Transition for all Region 6 counties and for the remainder of the state. We'll include the rest of them too. That we want to have that peer recovery network and that we want to have a competitive RFP process for providers to attain the expanded Healthy Transition funds, to be able to run that program locally by people who know the local community. We pointed out that we previously had a very successful Healthy Transitions program run by Carey Counseling, and it was really positive, and that should we not get funding for this, it would be very difficult. We would have to try to partner with maybe like NAMI or Tennessee Voices or TCCY to try to establish the certification, training, and program standards And again, it would rely very heavily on unpaid volunteers, which there's only so much as unpaid volunteers can do. Does anyone have questions about that needs assessment or have additional things they would want to add to it before we submit it? Okay, I'm going to take silence as golden, and we'll go ahead and move on to the next one, which was, again, kind of a new idea this year. Our committee talked about developing our own curriculum and curriculum trainings for a mental health curriculum to be used in the schools. So I did a little research to see what was already out there, and there is a Tennessee Comprehensive School-Based Mental Health Resources Guide. The guide focuses heavily on getting buy-in from your school system that this is important. There wasn't a lot of information about curriculums. There was a suggestion of using IT Hope or using Youth Mental Health First Aid, but there's not a very set curriculum standard or recommendation for children's mental health within schools. And we know our fantastic governor has renewed his proposal for the Mental Health Trust Fund. And specifically wanting to target a lot of those funds towards school-based services and establish some permanent funding for some school-based services. So that's the actual treatment side of it. What we want to target is on the prevention side and educating children starting in pre-K what mental health looks like. And so there are some suggestions about character development, things like that. So what we are asking is that the department put together a joint work group with the Department of Education and other community stakeholders to write a mental health curriculum to be made available for free to all Tennessee school counselors, and that this would be the mental health curriculum to be done in the school system. And what it does is for a lot of our lower SES families that are transitory and move a lot, there would be a theme of the month, so there would be like September. So Billy moves from this school in August to this school in September. No matter what school he was in Tennessee, he would be getting the same material in September. So it's not like, well, maybe Billy missed suicide prevention because at the old school they did that in the fall, like, and at the new school they, you know, they're not doing it until next fall. So maybe he misses suicide intervention. Maybe that's really important that Billy maybe needed that information a year later. So having it standardized across the state of this is what's going to be included, I think will be really helpful. So we included a lot of CDC stats. And so really identified that the curriculum would need to be reviewed every 3 years and updated. We wouldn't want to have an online clearinghouse of all the resources the school counselors can access it quickly. Without this, again, it would be a volunteer-driven process, which would take an extended amount of time. So, you know, really we want to have the right body of experts to be able to develop this curriculum. And so ideally the funding impact would be a short-term position to be able to help organize the key players, write the curriculum, and then it would be a short-term position 3 years later for the review of the curriculum. So that's our other recommendation. Does anyone have feedback on that one or want to add extra stuff to it or all that good stuff?
Megan, I don't have a question. I have a comment and a shout out. Thank you and Jerry for the hard work that went into that. I was able to sit in part of your children's committee meetings, and I know you put a lot of time and effort into it. And on behalf of the council and the people we serve, thanks for that.
You're welcome. And you need to thank Jerry for keeping us straight. Jerry keeps us organized and on task.
So Jerry's the one that herds the cats, huh?
Yes.
I've heard
Jerry,
any other comments on the work from the Children's Committee and the needs assessments identified? Okay. Thanks again, y'all. Great stuff. I'll talk about the substance abuse needs that we've identified and we'll be submitting. I think I sent them out a little earlier, and then Avis and Amy got their copy. But that was just sent out to the Planning and Policy Council. I wanted to get it in front of you, give you a chance to look over it, see if there's things you want to add, if there's things maybe you disagree with. But and we followed up one of the needs from last year again this year, and that was case management. One of the things that we've discovered, we have a couple of programs that are state-funded programs that provide for case management. One of them is through my Mother's Love program. There's a step-down program we have that's case managed for pregnant and postpartum women. What we've seen is how effective that program is. And I know for you people that maybe have residential programs or are familiar with residential programs, you do a lot of case management in that. It's more than just sitting across the desk and providing therapy. You know, our counselors here do a lot of case management. What we would like to see is whether it's, we don't know how the state could structure it, whether it would be a budget item with the state. But what we would like to see is post-discharge case management. Recovery rates, absent rates go way up when there's case management involved. As we know, and as you that work in mental health, we've had case management and mental health for several years, and I think you see the impact that it has there. So that was one of the needs we identified last year. We decided this year to resubmit it. It hasn't been addressed in the three-year plan. And, you know, of course, there will be some additional funding required for it. What we hope to accomplish with it is better outcomes. And, you know, it's just that simple. If we don't get it, then we'll continue as we currently do, and try to provide as much case management as we can through aftercare and in other avenues maybe that we can get. But we just felt like that having a structured case management program would help outcomes and build a long-term recovery. So that was one of them, was to establish a case management program. The other need is, and we've had some conversations, I know Tamo is working on some stuff with this too, and that's about workforce development. I read not long ago the average age of the licensed alcohol and drug counselor is 55 years old. And then even older in some mental health settings. So what we would like to do is look at ways to develop our workforce moving forward in the future. We know that pay is a big part of that. You know, the salaries that our field pays doesn't compare. I read while we were doing this research, it was 60% of us, 60 to 70% of jobs now, I don't know if I've got it in here, but had a higher wage than an LCSW that required much more education and supervision in order to get the credential. And we just feel like that salary opportunities are holding some people back from entering the field and choosing other paths. We looked at it from two angles. One, from the professional workforce development that work in substance abuse and mental health. And then the other thing was look at the populations we serve. About 20% of the people we see here don't have a high school education. In these day and times, you know, especially, I don't know about where y'all are, but in Jackson, you know, every window, we've spent several years building relationships with people where people completing treatment would have employment when they moved into transition. And And we've had some pretty good luck with that. Now, people are recruiting because they can't find people to work. You know, I get 3 emails a week from industry here or construction companies that we work with over the years saying, hey, can you send somebody? So even in this economy where people are looking for people to employ, so many times there are some things we can do to better prepare the people we serve to enter the workforce. And we think a workforce development program could help with that. So that's the second need that we've identified for substance abuse. And so at that, I'll stop and entertain any questions or comments or concerns.
Hey, Richard, I was just going to say with the workforce development and through my meetings across the state, I think that we're going to see that workforce development come up pretty much across the board, all the way across the state, because, you know, all these meetings we talk about exactly what you were saying, there is without a doubt a huge need for that. And you're absolutely right. People are leaving or choosing a different path because they know, you know, that the money is not there. And every one of those things that you said, I completely agree with. And I think everybody across the state does as well.
Well, thanks, Kim. And I did have a conversation. His name escapes me. We've exchanged some emails. Somebody that you talked to that had done some work for Tim Ho.
Elliot.
That's it. Yeah. We've had that conversation, and I think he's talked to some other regional councils that we'll be submitting something around workforce development, too, during this needs assessment period.
Richard, this is Avis. Just to add to that, if you were in attendance, and I believe you were, I know Kim was, because she chaired the meeting with the February statewide council meeting, Commissioner mentioned about the workforce development issue. And I don't know if you all remember, but she was kind of wanting to get a group together to talk about that. And I mentioned to her that a lot of our regions had this on their needs assessment. They were discussing it. So I just wanted to share that. Commissioner will be particularly probably interested this time around in what regions are putting on their needs assessment centered around workforce development, if that is a need in their region. So I'm glad you did include that on the needs assessment, or the group included that. She will be looking at that particularly close this time.
Thanks, Avis. It sounds like we're all probably on the same page with this workforce thing. I know here, you know, our licensed people are they pretty much fit that mode. Now, we did get a couple LADACs licensed in the last year that are younger, but our seasoned LADACs are, I don't want to call them old because they're younger than I am, but they are seasoned, and I'll say that.
Right.
So thanks.
Yeah. So she will be looking at that. So, yeah, just wanted you all to know that.
Thanks, Avis. Now, I think what we'll do, we've had a chance to review the two mental health needs and the two substance abuse needs. And so if everybody's good with it, the chair would entertain a motion that we submit those to the statewide council as the Region 6 needs.
I make a motion that the two mental health needs and the substance abuse needs that were submitted through Region 6 to be approved or sent forward.
Thank you, Kim. Kim's made the motion. We'll need a second. Lori Hendon with the second. Thank you, Lori. Or is there any further discussion? Being none, the motions have been made and properly seconded that we adopt the four needs presented as the needs that we will submit to the statewide council on April 15th. All four say aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
Opposed likewise. So the
this is Lori. I'm late saying my aye because I couldn't find my unmute button. So aye.
All right. Thank you, Lori. Okay, the motion passes. That'll be what we submit to the statewide council on the 15th or probably later today, but by the 15th. Thanks, everybody, for your input on that. You know, we have seen over the years some needs that we have identified that have been put in the three-year plan or at some point have been implemented. So it is important work. The people that are in this region know what the needs are. So we appreciate everybody that had some input on that and put so much time and energy into it. So we'll submit it and see where we go with it. So thank you. Next on the GD agenda, did I just say a GD? I think I did. Next on the agenda are the committee reports. Megan, Jerry, who wants to jump in?
I'll go. Mike, I have been meeting with the Children's Committee. We didn't meet last year but because of COVID, but first thing January, we started right back up, and we've been doing monthly meetings since then. Of course, we discussed the needs assessment, but we've also been discussing some special projects because we usually try to do at least one each time we start the committee each year. And we've also heard some good updates. And I wish Matt was on the call because Matt Marshall gave us an update on 211 hub and also on Handle with Care, which were really good updates. So if you haven't checked out the.
Did we lose
you? Our agent. I'm still here.
Jerry's going in and out. Okay.
My internet's lagging. Sorry. Go, Megan, if you want to fill in, you go right ahead.
Sure. The 211 hub is now open, which, you know, back in the day when you hit 211, it was information. So it's a searchable information database. If you are a mental health agency or other agency in the community, you will want to go and submit your information to 211 hub. You can do a search by county, by need. It's really amazing. So we were able to get some information about that. We've had two other projects that we've kind of kicked off. The first one was the creation of DCS has been partnering with us, and they have a short child abuse reporting and intervention awareness webinar that you can take and get a certificate. And our goal is to target delivery drivers with that. So DoorDash, Grubhub, Lowe's delivery, Walmart grocery delivery, our goal is to get those delivery drivers access to the training, and that what we're going to offer is that if an employer gets all of their staff trained, we're gonna give them like a decent sized certificate to hang on their wall to indicate that they're a child safe workplace. That their staff know that they're all mandated reporters in Tennessee to report child abuse. So we thought that would be a really cool way, given that the governor's estimate was that there are 20,000 children that just never registered for school this year. So we would like to try to make sure that those 20,000 children are found and or have abuse reported in the home. Our next big project is building into a summer project. So we were talking about like outdoor mental health and how going outdoors helps children's mental health. So what we're working on is teaming with each of our city parks and rec, our state parks in our region to host a children's field day at some point in the summer to promote kids being outdoors and mental health and wellness, to try to bridge that kind of like mind-body kind of gap. So that's our next big project. We're working on gathering all of the contact information for Parks and Recs Department so we can have that meeting. And I'm going to guess that Jerry wants me to say when the next meeting is. the next meeting is on Thursday the 22nd, so next week. It'll be at 9:30. If you are not already on my distribution list, please come join it. And I am sending out a recurring Zoom link. So you'll just automatically once a month get it popped up and you're like, oh, yeah, I had that meeting. I should go hang out. It's going to be cool.
And they run a good meeting. They do.
Yes. And if you have interns, we would love to give them tasks to do, like looking stuff up if they need like extra indirect hours.
Thanks so much, y'all. There was an adult committee meeting on January the 13th. You know, their meeting's a day after our meeting each quarter. So they worked on their needs assessment. The adult committee did. And one of the things they identified was transitional housing. I think they had submitted that before. The adult committee, they were still having the input they got was they were still having trouble getting placement for people released from regional mental health centers or recovery programs. So that was one of the things that they're discussing on submitting to the statewide committee. Another need they identified along with ours, and as Avis alluded to, was workforce development. I think the adult committee is going to focus on the populations we serve to try to see what they can do there. Another need they talked about, and of course, this was preliminary, so they haven't submitted, but that was recovery housing. And I know that Avis was on the call and talked to him about C2, the Creating Homes Initiative, and how that could be helpful in bringing up some recovery housing. And I know the region housing coordinators are suggested to be on the call. And I noticed Jason Postlewaite, our Region 6 housing coordinator for recovery, is on the call today. So. Those are the things that the adult committee talked about on the 13th. There's another meeting tomorrow. I plan to try to sit down on it. We'll see how that goes. So that's the adult committee report. Any comments? Okay, we'll move on then. And that's... I think we sent out, I got the stuff from Avis about the legislative proposals. I know Ms. Julian was our legislative chair. Once she changed jobs and moved to Pathways, I talked or sent her an email earlier today. Haven't heard back from her. I don't know if she's going to be able to stay in that role. Lynn's had a lot going on and changed jobs, so I'll be checking with her to see what we need to do about that. But we did send out, I forwarded to you that what I got from Mavis about questions about the legislative proposal. And I got some stuff here somewhere. Hey, bear with me. Yeah. The proposal process, things that have to be addressed. What I would like to do, this is due in May. May something. Y'all tell me how organized I am. May 17th. I would like to get about a 3-member committee together to just have a conversation about it. And if there's something legislatively that we want to move on, that we start that process and get through that process. Because, you know, what we have found, if you make a proposal, and then you make the contacts you're supposed to make or should be made relative to that proposal through your legislators and people that have some influence, you can get some things done. So, if we can identify a need that needs to be addressed through our legislature, I think we're well positioned to be able to do that. So, do we have some volunteers that would be willing to maybe meet once or twice, exchange emails, any way that we can put together to at least have a conversation about it if we wanted to pursue it, make a decision then? Okay, I'll appoint some people after this meet. How's that? No, we can have a conversation about it, but I'll send some stuff out in a little bit. We'll just go from there. But you have the legislative process and the questions that need to be answered if we need to make a legislative move. So if you want to look over those, and then at some point I'll get an email out just to gauge the interest and see if there's something we want to pursue. Comments?
Say if you'll send it, I'll send it to my boss. I know I don't have the time commitment for it, but I might be able to highly encourage him to participate.
Bless you.
See if he might want to do that.
Okay. We'll get it to you. I think we're about to wrap up the agenda. We would take this opportunity to open the floor. Anybody got anything going on that they want to share with the council?
I just want to say hello, everybody. Sorry I was late. I'm struggling with my WebEx today. I was upside down for a while, so I kept myself off the camera. Don't forget me, United Healthcare Community Plan. We are still here. If you have any community events going on, please let me know. We are still supporting, sponsoring events, even virtual events that you may have, or community-wide events that you want to do locally. Please let me know. We're still partnering, and we're still here supporting the community.
Thank you, Kubra. And I know Dana and Jerry, I get quite a few emails from them about upcoming events. Anything y'all want to share?
I'll try one more time. The West Tennessee After School Network, Dana and I are partnering with. They're doing a conference May 5th to the 7th. It's a Wednesday afternoon, Thursday morning, and a Friday morning. A whole conference for after school networks. So it would be child care workers, educators, parents, anybody who wants to come and join and find out good information on STEM, mental health, a whole gamut of topics, literacy, all sorts of stuff. So that's save the date, and registration should be out for that pretty soon. The only other thing we've got is June 10th, we have a statewide virtual conference that TCCY is doing on human trafficking. And Dana might want to add some stuff.
The other thing I would like to add is, and we just shared that, Jerry and I, just a few minutes ago before this meeting, but TCCY has some Building Strong Brains dollars that had to be spent because we couldn't be out in the field doing the things that we do. So they are doing a collective impact series. And so it's 4 dates for 2 hours, but it's talking about building community impact and how you do that. And so I think it's particularly relevant to this group, of how we really do what we do in a way that it impacts the community in a very thoughtful way. And so I think these experts that they're bringing in will probably give us lots of good information. And it's free.
I have one question. I think it was Jerry who was talking about the conference for After School Network. Will there be any information on email about that?
Yeah, we've been sending out a save the date on it, Kubra. As soon as registration comes out, though, we'll be sure to get that out
okay.
as well.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Al. Anybody else with anything going on with their agencies? Well, I guess if we're through the agenda, again, I want to thank everybody for taking time to jump on in here. I can't wait till we can all get together again. It's, you know, this is good that we can meet this, and we certainly appreciate Amy and Kirby and Avis, you know, putting this together for us where we can do this. But there's just something about sitting across the table and having that interaction and that that connection that that we get from those meetings. So I can't wait till we can do that. Avis, do we have any idea whether the June meeting will be in-person statewide meeting?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was just going to interject after you finished talking about a couple of things. One, to answer your question, not yet. Our the executive order, Governor Lee's executive order number 78, extends through April the 27th. So we haven't heard yet if he's going to extend us to be able to meet, continue to meet virtually. However, if not, we're working right now on a plan A and B. If that's not the case, and I can't speak to it exactly right now because we haven't got the approval to do this and putting the final touches on it. So I don't know about the June meeting yet. But what I would like to ask you, as well as the members on the council, I have heard from several of the other regional chairs, and they have heard from their council members, but haven't actually talked with you or the council members here of Region 6. What are your thoughts, considering where we are right now, on meeting, continuing to meet virtually due to what's going on in our state with the pandemic? What are you all's thoughts as far as continue to meet virtually or easing into meeting in person? Before you answer, I'd just like to say, if we do keep in mind that, number one, we're still, you know, social distance is a factor. A lot of our agencies don't have the space to social distance 6 feet apart because their rooms are very small, even when they meet regularly before the pandemic. So, we still need to abide by those CDC requirements. So what are your thoughts?
I would like to interject there. Avis, you're absolutely right. I miss everybody dearly, and I want to be in the same room with everybody, like Richard said. But I don't think, even though I had both of my vaccines so far, I don't think I would feel comfortable sitting in that conference room we usually meet with people so close to each other.
Okay. Thanks, Cooper, for your feedback. Anybody else?
I agree that we need a different venue. We could potentially ask to use the EMA building out at McKellar Sites, which is quite large, and oftentimes they have a lot of availability. So we could ask if we could use theirs. There's plenty of space in that large meeting room to spread out 6 feet apart. But I also think there needs to be an online option for people who might be too medically fragile or have someone medically fragile at home, where there's a medical need for them to continue to isolate. So I think that might be an option for us to look at in June. If the EMA might be willing to let us meet out there, and also get their Wi-Fi password. That way we might be able to link in, and that way the meeting can also happen both virtual and live at the same time.
I think that's a great idea. Yeah, because we, you know, that's the way we've been doing our board meetings. We went back live a couple of months ago, but we still give our board members the option to do it virtually. So that might be the way to go, Megan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody else have any feedback? Okay. If not, definitely made note of that and take that on, you know, under consideration as decisions are being made. And then we'll just keep you posted. But for right now, we don't know yet.
Okay. Well, thanks, Avis. Is there any other business the council needs to address today? If not, the chair will entertain a motion. We adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
Megan, thank you. A second?
I'll second.
Marcus, thanks a lot. Any discussion about adjourning? None. All four, aye, raise your hand.
Aye.
Opposed likewise? Meeting's adjourned. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Bye.